going from unsteadiness to steadiness. Although the beginnings is just some common sense things, and then some scriptural things, and then some different things. We're conditioned souls, and as conditioned souls, we're accustomed to judging things by physical appearances of things and not necessarily the essences of things. So, possible ways of thinking of what steadiness is, first of all, could be thought of in terms of somebody that's very steady in their service. That's a good quality. You can rely on them. They're always there. They're on time to do things in a consistent manner, steadiness. Or maybe another kind of steadiness is they're very fixed in their sadhana practices, always, always, always. Their requirement 16 rounds, regular principles, very fixed, very steady. Related, but not exactly the same. Perhaps someone is very regulated, I certainly see this in places where I travel. Some individuals, they're very fixed in their mangalarti is right on time, and the next activity, the next activity, and it's not just one day. They're very fixed. It's laudable. So that's one idea of what steadiness is. But those are certainly helpful. They're good symptoms, certainly, of the mode of goodness, at least. But they're behaviors, and behaviors are something that are external. And so steadiness, another way of looking at what steadiness is something that's internal. Where the steadiness has to do with the quality of the heart, or the cleansed condition of the soul's consciousness. There are two important verses. Srinvatasva Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantakso Yabhadrani. What's the last line? Vidhanoti Suhrit Satam. That's describing unsteady, becoming steady. And then, so the abhadras, the impure things, are cleansed by Svakata Krishna, by hearing and chanting topics of Krishna. Pridyantakstalyabhadrani. The heart becomes cleansed of those unwanted things, impure things, from unsteady to steady. And steady is Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. What's the rest? Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Good, you're a sloka crew. Good. So, Nashta, destroyed. Prayeshu, almost to nil. And that's a curious. When the first time I read that, it was, what's that all about? Almost to nil. Why not nil? Nashta prayeshu. Abhadreshu. Abhadra. Bhadra and abhadra. Auspicious and inauspicious. Things that are inauspicious within the heart. Nashta prayeshu. By that process of hearing and chanting, they're destroyed almost to nil. In one lecture on that verse, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 18, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, Prabhupada explained what that Prayeshu means. Almost to nil. He said, like 75%. And then the bell rings. Okay, 75%. So what does it mean? It's not exactly a mathematical formula, but it means that to such an extent that the abhadras don't act. That is to say, they may still be present to some extent, but the other 75%, or the purification, the awakened attraction for Krishna, the bhakti, is so strong, it overwhelms the remaining residual impurification. That's the nishtha, or steady, not unsteady, not vacillating or wavering or flickering, but steady. And prior to the steady is unsteady. So then that's a statement of the condition of heart. So the description that you presented in our previous session, I'll do the graph of the sine curve. So you're all educated people. Sine curve goes up, reaches an apex, and then goes down. Reaches the bottom point, then comes back up again, and like that sine curve. So what happens as one progresses in devotional service is the axis, the horizontal axis going this way, starts to move up, and the amplitude starts to diminish. So the ups and the downs, the vacillations diminish, and steadiness enters, where it's not just down here, but it's steadily up. And that takes cultivation. We can say it takes time, certainly it takes time. Like we heard Prabhupada speaking about, quality may take several lifetimes. Giriraj Maharaj shared this with me, or with us, a group of us. He was with Srila Prabhupada one time in the Juhu temple. This is when those two towers, the guest houses, had just been constructed, and Prabhupada's quarters was in the top of one of those towers. And it was in the morning before the morning walk. Giriraj Maharaj was in Prabhupada's quarters, and Prabhupada, it was just the two of them, and Prabhupada was chanting japa, sitting at his desk. And Giriraj Maharaj was sitting with him, and he said, I was feeling very fortunate. Here I am with a pure devotee, chanting japa, chanting the holy name, the means of deliverance, just the two of us. How fortunate. And Prabhupada was intently absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. And then suddenly he stopped, and he looked at Giriraj Maharaj and said, it took me 30 years to perfect my chanting. And Giriraj Maharaj said, I was thinking, wow, 30 years, that's a long time. And so many years later, and 40 years later, thinking, wow, if I could have perfected my chanting in 30 years. Or lifetimes, whatever it may take, the steadiness, part of the price of steadiness is the commitment, whatever the cost. And what's the cost? What's the price for purification or steadiness as a result of purification? It's faith. There's a very nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where the phrase Namahata is used, and we know what Namahata, we use that in our ISKCON vernacular all the time. Namahata is a home program. Somebody's conducting a home program in their home regularly, that becomes a Namahata. That means so their house becomes, literally it means a marketplace. Namahata. So, in the song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that Lord Chaitanya gave to Lord Nityananda the mandate to distribute the pure holy name. Then Lord Nityananda, he offered franchises. I mean, I don't know if they had that word exactly in Bengali, but the way it translates today is it's a franchise. So you all know what franchise is. I don't have to explain. And so Nityananda said to the franchisees, here's our product, the holy name, pure holy name. And you can distribute to anyone and everyone, but there's a price. They must give some price. And the price is faith. They give some faith, you can give them the pure holy name. They don't give faith, you don't give them the pure holy name. That's the franchise contract. So, from our side, to receive the pure holy name, there has to be some faith. And we know from the nine stages of bhakti, going from faith, adau, shraddha, up to prema, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, one way of describing these nine stages of bhakti is, it's simply stages of faith. Faith and faith and faith and faith and faith of different categories. And one of them we're speaking about, steadiness, is called nishtha, or steady faith. And what's before steady faith is pliable. Faith that can be changed or molded in some other way by some impact of something, the way that it's described sometimes is where faith is soft and pliable, like somebody that's very new and they receive an opposing argument and they're moved by that opposing argument. That's the word that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses is Komala Shraddha. Any Bengalis here? Where's Amritananda? What does Komala mean? Huh? Soft and pliable. Yes? Komala Shraddha. It's like butter. You know, a little heat and the butter melts. Because that's what butter does when you bring it in contact with heat. It just melts. And then the intermediate stage, the Madhyama stage, is where one's faith is firm. Such a person may not know all the scriptural arguments to refute so opposing argument, but their faith is firm. They can't be moved by any opposition. And then the topmost position is they know very clearly all the scriptural arguments and any other argument, they can defeat that argument. It's something can't remember the Sanskrit of the verse. A symptom of one who is in advanced stage is in essence. They've heard the scriptures, they've realized the conclusion of the scriptures, and they can remove the doubts of others on the basis of the authority of scriptures. That's a symptom of one who is an advanced Vaishnava. So steadiness is not... That's a phrase that Prabhupada used in our early ISKCON vernacular, was fixed up. Prabhupada would say, so-and-so is fixed up. So he started using it. They're fixed up devotee. Fixed up means they're not soft and pliable. they're steady. Steadiness can be in terms of service, or steadiness can be in terms of regulation, or steadiness can be in terms of so many other conditions, but the real standard for steadiness is nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. That's something, the heart has become cleansed substantially, so much so that whatever residual covering or contamination or impurity is so minimal, and the bhakti is so strong, bhakti will quash. It won't, that impurity won't have a chance to exhibit or fructify, exhibit itself in some form of ill behavior. And then we can go to the higher position even, where supposing Krishna gives, you know, this 9:30 Bhagavad Gita, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadur eva samantavya. So not just steady, but sadhu. That's more than steady. And even the more than steady, the sadhu, may exhibit some durachar. Sudurachar, very bad behavior. But it's so irregular that Krishna introduces it with apichet, which means even if. And even if is a kind of thing like it would never happen. Supposing the sky fell down. It's not going to happen. But, you know, even if it happened, then you finish the thing. So even if something. Bhaktisiddhanta calls that working hypothesis. And says it's useless. Working hypothesis, you know, supposing... It's like the question, if God is all-powerful, God is almighty, can He create something that's so heavy He can't lift it? It's called the Stump the Swami question in the Swami circuit. What if God created something so heavy He couldn't lift it? And Prabhupada's answer is, yes, He could create something that's so heavy He can't lift it and then lift it. Because you say He can create something that He can't lift, that's something He can't do. And if he can't create it, that's something He can't do. Can't lift it, He can't do. If He can't create it, He can't do. So it's, how can He be God? Can't do or can't do. Looks like checkmate. So it won't happen. But supposing it happens. Like Lord Brahma stealing the calves and the cowherd boys. He's the preceptor of our sampradaya. We're not going to think of him like one of us. You know, he's a bhakta Lord Brahma. Not right. He did something that wasn't right. Or Maharaj Parikshit placed the dead snake around a sage who was in trance of meditation. That's Sudurachara. But it was induced by Krishna. That's our understanding of how such things happen. Or Krishna may permit someone to do something in order to correct some residual tendency, like we were describing before, residual tendency. Krishna takes care of that personally. Not punishment by the modes of nature. Personally, He corrects the heart. And that's what He says in the next verse. So, steadiness is externally, there isn't bad behavior, there's steady good behavior. But that kind of steadiness can be created by practice, not necessarily by pure heart, just by, let's say, born of impulses of the modes of nature. Like, you know, being very dutiful. One of the symptoms of the quality of goodness is one is dutiful. One does something because it's to be done. And one doesn't do something because it's not to be done. So I decide what I will do, like virtue. I will decide what I will do because it's virtuous, and I only act according, like Maharaj Yudhisthira. He would never lie. He was, impeccable. But he wasn't just impeccable, he was a pure devotee. But when Maharaj Yudhisthira hesitated to tell a lie, you know, this Bhaktisiddhanta in the writings that he presented, he didn't make a verse-by-verse kind of commentary on Brahma, on Mahabharata, but some sections of it. So he explains some sections that people commonly misunderstand and gives the proper understanding. This is one of them. When Maharaj Yudhisthira failed to lie, failed to do what Krishna said, his chariot touched the ground. So some people say, his chariot touched the ground because he lied. Bhaktisiddhanta said, that's a misconception. It's a wrong understanding. His chariot touched the ground because he failed to do what Krishna said. Because what's the standard of dharma? Dharmam sakshat bhagavat panitam. Bhagavan gives the standard of dharma. So truthfulness is to be followed because that's given by Bhagavan. Not just because we think it's the right thing to do. It's because it's given by Bhagavan. And if Bhagavan says, Yudhisthira, say, Ashwatthama is dead. Go ahead, say it. Oh, I can't say it. Then that's not the standard of dharma. Krishna can make the rules and Krishna can change or break the rules. And it's dharma. Like, anyway, you get the idea. And Krishna wanted to show that's the standard of dharma. I set the standard of dharma. So, steadiness can be when just somebody is very dutiful. But that could be born of the modes of nature, the mode of goodness. And what do we know from 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita about the modes of nature? They're always in competition for supremacy. So what's the mode of goodness one moment may another moment be another mode. And then that other mode will subside and mode of goodness is strong again. But the other mode is still there. So it's not, it's unsteady. That steadiness is unsteady. It's unstable. Another example that just nice thing to share with you. It's a transcendental message, but I was attending a retreat one time in Gita Nagari, and I came a day early to prepare, and that particular morning, Sureshwara Prabhu. Do any of you know Sureshwara Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple? You know him? Really wonderful devotee. Really wonderful devotee. So the verse that was being spoken about was Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinshana Sarvayar Ganaishtatra Sama Sute Sara. Some of you may know what that verse is. Harava Bhaktashukuto Mahadguna. So the verse says, if you're not a devotee, you have no good qualities. If you're a devotee, all the good qualities of the demigods become decorated within that person. And for the one who is not a devotee, it says that person doesn't have good qualities because mano rate nasati davatobahi. They're riding on the chariot of the mind. So Sureshwara gave class on that verse. And he gave an explanation that at least I wasn't so comfortable with. He said, actually, I know a lot of people that are good. And he was describing, he was doing a Food for Life program on behalf of Gitanagari and going to people that are poor in that county, Juniata County, and he would go to their home, and they're really good people, really gracious people, mode of goodness people. For people that are just not very many people in the mode of goodness. That was his point. The next morning, Jayadvaita Swami was to give class. He didn't know that Sureshwara gave class on that verse, so he gave class on the same verse. And he gave the Jayadvaita Swami class. No good qualities. And his explanation was that which is born of the modes of nature, supposing it's born of the quality of goodness, it's unstable. That which is created from the modes of nature is also time-bound. It comes into being, it's going to go out of being. And that's asat. You follow? Now you see it, now you don't. That's not a quality. A quality is something that it's not created by the modes of nature. It's not created by circumstance. It's not coming into being and going out of being. It's sat. It's eternal. And when the living entity takes shelter of the supreme living entity, his sat nature is fully restored, and then real qualities become exhibited. Not circumstance created, not time created, not come into being, go out of being. So really good qualities are on the spiritual platform. You with me? So steadiness, back to the question, from a spiritual lens or spiritual perspective, is a pure heart. And until our heart is pure, there's going to be the up and down. We're doing very nicely and very enthusiastic and Hari Bol, and then, what's going on? It's the impurity of heart. So, Bhaktivinod Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discussed this point of steadiness, nishtha, by saying there's three different categories of steadiness. Mind, from subtle to gross. Mind, steadiness of mind. Steadiness of speech, steadiness of body or behavior. Where there's steadiness, back to the baseline here, it comes when there's purity. Stated conversely, without purity, there isn't going to be steadiness. So we need cheto, darpana, marjanam, we need that purification over time from contacting the Supreme Pure so we can become pure. And if there's that unsteadiness, the up and down effect, keep chanting. Abhyasa yoga yutena. Continue to practice. You may experience that tomorrow during this commonly. If you're really, really enthusiastic, perhaps for some time, Krishna can do anything he likes, but perhaps for some time everything is sailing. But 64 rounds, that's a lot of rounds, and you know, over time your enthusiasm, your eagerness, and so forth may dip down a little bit, and then something happens. It's a different experience. It's the struggle, and what happened? You know, you try to get back to where you were, and it's not so easy to get back to where you were. And so many other things can happen. It's entirely a Krishna relationship thing. I'll just share one other little anecdotal experience in mindfulness of anticipating our 64-round day. I described this Ojai, California retreat. One of the persons who attended that retreat was Mother Rasa Gya. She's now departed this world. But she attended the Japa retreat, and she shared afterwards that, as I had shared with you, I was really looking forward to it. For months, she was anticipating. And when she got in the plane and the plane started to take off, it went in a different direction than, you know, up. What happened was all of the mean things, hurtful things, bad things that she had done as a devotee, and some of them even before a devotee, just appeared in her mind. It flooded her mind. And it wouldn't stop. And she was feeling great remorse, how I've harmed and hurt and inflicted pain on other persons. She's not a mean-spirited person, but she did things. She shared some of those things that she did to me afterwards. You know, I had long ago forgotten them, but she was carrying it as, because she's a devotee, she was feeling, you know, really badly that she had done some things that were hurtful. It just kept going and going and going, and she had to leave the room. She was crying. All these, you know, heavy emotions. It didn't stop. She was describing like this to us. It's just in the after, the next day. And it reached a point where she just, like Draupadi, threw her hands up in the air and, Krishna, you can do with me whatever you want. And it's not as soon as, but sometime at, because Krishna wanted, she described, I felt that Krishna wanted to see, do you really mean that? And then all of a sudden, just completely changed. You know, like the Seattle weather. It just completely went from stormy and rainy to wait till tomorrow, see what happens. Sunny and warm and good. She felt that Krishna just picked her, not just took her by the hand, but picked her up in his hand and just lifted her up. He wanted her to undergo that purification of deep regret, because not that we have to suffer or something. Krishna wants us to go through that, but that was, it was in her heart, and to release her heart from that, that's what happened. It was intense. So it's not that steadiness means a free ride, or it's always, or the other way around, it's going to be painful, but it means purification of heart. Purification doesn't mean painful. Purification means purification, however Krishna wants it. And when you place yourself at Krishna's feet, you surrender to Krishna, be ready for Krishna to do with you as he likes. Not as you like. Not like you have your script and Krishna better, you know, do what you say according to your plan, or there's something wrong with him. He didn't get his signals right. We're not calling the play. He's calling the play. We surrender to Krishna on his terms. Get ready tomorrow for, you know, being in that mood of submitting to Krishna. And we're not there, but we'd like to get there. And so the steadiness requires this purification, and then steadiness also requires the Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Not just the impurities diminish, but the attraction, this is steadiness, the attraction for serving Krishna with love has awakened. to some degree. Enough of a degree that the other distracting things that made up our lives previously don't manifest themselves. Now, sometimes we find ourselves managing those things, those other things. The time wasters and the distractions and the bad habits, and everybody's got theirs, whatever it is. That's a cause of unsteadiness. So in these three categories, mind, words, and action, the most subtle and the most difficult to control is the mind. Just like somebody was sharing, my mind was wandering when chanting, when we did that little exercise of chanting together. My mind was wandering. What else is new? That wandering is due to the affinity. We've still invested ourselves in the hope of being enjoyers, being controllers, being dutiful. So our mind goes to things that we need to do because we're dutiful. That's like, who I am, I'm dutiful. Mode of goodness person. Rather than, so the replacement is becoming attached to Krishna. And when you're, here's the good news, really good news. When you're attached to Krishna, Krishna gives you the intelligence how to do what you need to do. I'll say it a little differently. When you're chanting, it's time for chanting. It's time for bringing your consciousness to Krishna. And if you do that very nicely, very, very carefully, what happens when it's your time to do something else? Krishna gives you the intelligence how to do that something else better than if you tried to figure it out while you're chanting. Although trying to figure out while you're doing what you're chanting is better than if you're not chanting. Or say it a different way. How many have had this experience? When your chanting is done very nicely in the morning, the day goes very smoothly. And conversely, when you're chanting is, for whatever the reason, not strong a given morning, you're up really late, or something comes, and it's sloppy japa. The day is just a struggle. Yeah. So, when it's time for chanting, just do chanting. And a sign of steadiness is steadiness of mind. Where the mind, that's the asset or the gift that comes to one who has accepted the gift of the holy name, is that your mind becomes steady. You can direct your mind where you want it to go, and it goes. And it starts with directing the mind to go to the holy name. And it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice, sustained practice over time, that results in purification. And then when that purification, then there's steadiness. Because the unsteadiness, back to what it isn't, the unsteadiness is attraction for other things. And if I'm attracted to other things and I'm trying to be attracted, giving my attention to Krishna, my mind is going to go to those other things. That's unsteadiness. I'll give a few examples. These are nice Prabhupada stories. I heard this during my visit here to Seattle, and it might have been Hari Vilas told me, or it might have been Nanda Suda told me about Hari Vilas, so I can't remember. Hari Vilas was with Srila Prabhupada one time in his room, and Prabhupada received a phone call. And the conversation and the phone call was about something to do with property and investment and purchase and, you know, being very, because Prabhupada was very careful. And during the conversation, Prabhupada was writing something on a piece of paper on his desk. So after some time, Prabhupada went away, and Hari Vilas was curious, so he went to look at the paper. And the paper was the Maha Mantra. What does that tell you? Here's another one. This is Hari Sori told me. Hari Sori would sometimes, part of his service was giving massage to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada liked the massage done very firmly, not, you know, patsy. It was firm. So one time, Prabhupada was, he didn't lay down, he sat sitting up, and the person giving the massage was supposed to press very hard. So he was pressing on his back, and he made a very strong push on his back, and from Prabhupada's mouth came Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava. What does that tell you? I mean, when it wasn't coming out, it was inside, and then it came out. Then another example is, I've been listening to Prabhupada's morning walk conversations, and one of those morning walk conversations in Juhu with Mr. Patel, those of you that know, you know, he was like a sparring partner for Prabhupada. He would make Purvapaksha arguments all the time, and Prabhupada would argue back, and it was nice. They had a very nice relationship. It wasn't, he had faith in Prabhupada, but he presented other ideas. Then Prabhupada would defeat him, and he'd be happy to be defeated. So they were having one of these things, and you know, their voices were getting really loud. I couldn't even follow what they were saying back and forth. They were talking so fast and loud, and both at the same time. And it was something about impersonalism. That's why Prabhupada was getting, you know, animated. And then there was some just walking to hear the crunch of the sand and Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. And so it just came out. And then you know, back to the sparring again, and then again and again. Then the next lecture was in Atlanta, and it was Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj and you know, speaking about the scientists, and Prabhupada did it again. Just in between, you know, there's instead of just silence, Hare Nama, Hare. His mind was just fixed. Just fixed. Not just, you know, practice, but his mind was fixed. So even in ordinary activities, if your mind becomes fixed in proper chanting, your mind will be with Krishna when you're doing your duties. Where it's, you know, the duties isn't with your hand and your bead bag chanting your prescribed rounds. Your mind will be fixed upon Krishna. Because you'll have received Krishna, and that will have touched your heart, and that's what's animating your heart. So even you're doing your duties for Krishna, your thoughts are with Krishna. It happens that way. And another dimension of the steadiness of mind is your real shelter is Krishna. And one of the ways to find out where your real shelter is have a calamity and see where your mind goes. You ever have a calamity in your life? It's really good opportunity. Watch where your mind goes. One devotee couple was sharing with me that last summer they took a 2-week vacation. And it was two children, a husband and wife, driving in a car. The wife was driving. The kids were in the back seat. She wanted to give them some prasadam, so she reached in the bag and was giving them some prasadam, wasn't paying attention to the road, and hit the guardrail full speed. And everybody in the car screamed. I wasn't there, she said it. Screamed the holy name. But it wasn't peaceful. It was just, you know, freak out. But so her realization was we weren't depending on Krishna, but we were attached to Krishna. We have to advance a little bit more. maybe you've been in one of those kind of things when some kind of automobile, suddenly something, and it just comes out. Yes? Loud. I've had that experience multiple times. Not thinking anything, it just comes out. Because that's shelter. Or take it, you know, down a couple notches and something happens. Some unexpected something that's somebody does something, says something, or, you know, some, one of those kind of things that's hurtful. Where does your consciousness go? It'll tell you where your shelter is. So if one has attained this stage of steadiness, the mind goes to Krishna. At once, the mind goes to Krishna, whether it's up or down, or good or bad, or, you know, whatever it is, the mind goes to Krishna. There's steadiness because of steadiness, because of purity. And if you're not there, then practice it. And the best means of practice is our chanting of the holy name, and chanting of the holy name in a quality way. Cultivate it. And then with cheto, darpana, marjanam, and let that purification come by the merciful nature of the holy name and your practice, not just making the sound, but bringing your consciousness to that place of shelter in the holy name. That's one kind of steadiness. Then there's steadiness of speech. Steadiness of speech is symptomized by, you know, the do-nots are absent. There isn't prajalpa. There isn't fault-finding. Whining and complaining. Oh, they didn't do it. The speech is encouraging others to speak something about Krishna or their path. How are they doing with their sadhana? One passage from the Ramayana that I've heard Prabhupada speak on 40, 50 times, different lectures, so he liked this particular exchange. When Vishvamitra comes to visit King Dasarath to invite Ram to come and join him. So when he doesn't know that yet, when Dasarath greets him, he says something to the effect that, how is your practice in achieving spiritual perfection? Maybe some of you know what the Hindi is, or the Sanskrit in from Valmiki Ramayana. This is how Vaishnavas exchange. How do we use our speech where we're encouraging one another to speak about Krishna, to speak about our activities of trying to approach Krishna? It was really nice. I had lunch prasadam yesterday with Hari Vilas. It was just lunch hardly even happened because we were just speaking about different devotional topics. Fantastic. It was blissful. This is how we, by it comes from purity. That's the asset, that the value that comes from purification is, we don't do the other things, and we want to do the devotional things with our speech, and similarly with our actions. The unwanted things are checked because it's just the heart is cleansed. The devotional tendency is so strong. We just do the devotional tendency things. Sensual steadiness, very regulated, but from the position of heart, not just a mode of nature, mode of goodness manifestation. The clock is still moving. It's 4:00. I'm just going to say a few other things that I would take longer if I had more time. So that's something what steadiness is and unsteadiness is. So now how do we cultivate steadiness? So again, the classic verse from the Bhagavatam, Srinivasakatha Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, by Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, this also, serving the devotees, the person Bhagavat, and hearing the message of Bhagavat, which is also a service, message of Srimad Bhagavatam, that makes the heart pure. That's the process of getting to the steady stage. Causes of unsteadiness, from steadiness to unsteadiness, it's anartha. The stage before nishtha is anartha nivritti. So eradication of anarthas is what we need to do to get to the steadiness stage. And there are different ways. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the standards of unsteadiness, standards of anarthas one way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur another. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses specifically, so I'm just going to focus on this one, unsteadiness of mind. He speaks in this way. So I'm reading from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know that book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami. In Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas, carelessness is counted among the offenses against the holy name. In that scripture, the word pramada is described as inattentiveness or carelessness. Pramada can mean, you know, extreme madness. In this case, it's another kind of extreme madness. It's being careless when you're chanting, or being inattentive when chanting. You know, we do it all the time. It's madness. We're inviting Krishna, and we're ignoring Krishna. That's insulting. We don't invite somebody and then just ignore them. That's discourteous. And this is madness. We invite Krishna and we ignore Krishna. So he writes, Sri Harinam Chintamani, that's a book that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. I'm reading from Bhakti Loka, something again that we had discussed at a seminar here in Seattle. The six principles that help one progress in bhakti. Sri Harinam Chintamani has further divided this inattentiveness in three ways. Here's the three: apathy, inactivity, distraction. And it's, you know, from lower to upper, ascending, are the three types of inattentiveness. Until one gets free from these three types of inattentiveness, one cannot perform devotional service at all. Call Krishna and ignore Krishna. Here's the reference from Harinam Chintamani. Pramada may mean madness, excessive madness. Mada and pramada. But here the meaning is inattention or carelessness. It is from this offense that all other offenses spring. So unsteadiness is from offenses. And this one is the one from which all other offenses spring. Inattentiveness, careless. We'll have a nice opportunity tomorrow to overcome that one. The wise men recognize three types of inattention. One,
indifference, apathy.
So the antidote is counter that. You make an effort to be attentive, bring consciousness to Krishna, not just make the sound. I've been chanting 16 rounds for 43 years. And there was a period of time when I recall after about 4 or 5 rounds, I would start to get sleepy. And I wondered, why did it happen? 4 or 5 rounds, I start to get sleepy. So I tried different things. I tried, you know, standing up and walking around. And, you know, it's hard to sleep when you're standing up and walking around. But then I would sit down and get sleepy again. So I realized it wasn't just whether I was sitting. It was something else. And I watched it, and I found that it was as I would not pay attention to the sound pay attention to the sound, I'd get sleepy. My mind would go somewhere else and want to be somewhere else, and, you know, this is boring kind of thing. That's not nice. It's offensive to Krishna. Because of that, laziness or apathy of being with Krishna, sleepy. So, I found something that... Two steps. One step was to trick my mind. And the trick that I found that was effective was... After 4 or 5 rounds, didn't even have to, you know, just 4 or 5 rounds, start to concentrate on forming the sound properly. The trick was, to know whether you're forming the sound properly or not, you have to listen. So I had to listen. And I'll share this with you also. It's related. There was a period of time that I had more time. I was doing less of my GBC thing and just taking care of people. So when I had more time, I invited persons to record their chanting. We've done this. I think we did this at the last session. We had, you know, paired up in dyads, and you listen to another person chant, and then you critique their chanting. Whoa! And then change roles. The one that was listening chants, and the other one's critiquing their chanting. And many people reported, that was the best japa I've ever chanted. Because I knew somebody was listening. And they were going to critique me. And, you know, we're trained up in being competitive. I got to win. You know, I can't lose. I got to do it right. I can't do it sloppy. So if you practice that, you know, your friend or your husband or wife or someone, and you make a record, practice, because before you do make the recording, you're going to practice. You practice chanting properly. And wow, then it becomes good japa, because, you know, you're listening to how you're forming the sounds. But Prabhupada says it specifically. It's even written in the scripture and his purports. You know, that using the lips and the tongue and forming the sound properly. Giriraj Maharaj shared this with me. Well, yeah. When I was I joined the Boston Temple in 1970, 42 years ago. And he was a brahmachari at the time. And he had to practice then, not now. He chanted very loudly. So much so that everybody had to leave the temple room because he was chanting so loudly. And he chanted very swiftly, like fast. So, you know, devotees complained, you know, you're chanting too loudly. And so he wrote to Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, you know, is it okay to chant loudly? And and chant swiftly. And then Prabhupada wrote back two things. He said you should chant swiftly because by chanting swiftly it helps to capture the mind, but not so swiftly you cannot hear every syllable. That's a nice balance, right? And then loudly, you should chant audibly so you can hear, but not so much that you drive everybody out of the temple room. But chanting audibly is good. So, capture the mind through sound, by making the sound carefully and being investing attentiveness in the sound, and then you don't get sleepy. That was the later phase. Just invest attentiveness, like the verse from Bhagavad Gita, "Na sate vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sataha." Really simple. Neglect the asat and invest in sat. That's what consciousness is supposed to do. Withdraw from over here and invest over there. And the holy name. So direct attentiveness. Because you're going to be attentive to something because you're a spirit soul and you have consciousness. So that's the first. Apathy, inattentiveness, indifference. Then, you get a little bit above that, and it's just lazy or inactivity. So the solution for that is enthusiasm. In fact, that's the chapter that he's speaking about here. I'll read that section. Without enthusiasm, one becomes negligent in his worship. Negligence is born out of inactivity, apathy, or indifference. Laziness and inertia are called inactivity. When utsaha is generated, laziness and inertia cannot remain. Absence of desire to work is inertia. There's brahminical work too, but lazy to do the brahminical work of being attentive to Krishna's holy name, no good. This inertia is opposite to the nature of the spirit. If one allows this inertia to remain in his body or heart, then how can he perform devotional service? The state of apathy develops from carelessness. That's a nice one to remember. Before apathy comes carelessness. This apathy of just doing something mechanically. So we don't start there, we start enthusiastic. That's all, the first four rounds are all right. But not paying proper attention, it doesn't have a good result. Therefore, he quotes from Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, one should practice devotional service without deviation. This is instructed in Bhagavad Gita 6:23. He gives the Sanskrit. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated. Nishchayena. Without being deviated. So, constant practice. And if there's slackening in practice, that's inattentiveness. And if we're lazy, you like being in it. You like, you know, I worked hard. I deserve a little vacation. Right? That's material consciousness. I worked hard. Now I'll just, you know, do a little plateau program for a while. No good. Prabhupada taught, in Krishna consciousness, you're either progressing or regressing. There's no standing still. So don't coast. Don't do mechanical. Don't be inattentive due to apathy, carelessness, or laziness. So it's constant practice. Continue. Practice continuing to direct your faculty of awareness, your consciousness, to the Holy Name. Straight through. 16 rounds. Tomorrow, 64 rounds. It's effort. It's brahminical effort. Don't be lazy. Keep making the effort. And even if it gets, you know, starts going down, it's difficult. Keep investing in sat. Keep, depend on, call on for Krishna's mercy more. But don't let go of the effort. That's steadiness. It's not whether you're here or here. It's the effort that you make. The sincere effort that you make. Krishna recognizes that and Krishna reciprocates. It may not be in the way that you have the plan for him to reciprocate, but Krishna reciprocates. It makes the heart pure. We need that before we can get to this other kind of steadiness, where the mind just goes to Krishna. Yeah. And the third is and distraction, or attraction to other objects. And this is the end for this section. This is now reading a few sentences. Even if one gives up all other namaparads, if he is still inattentive, he can never have attraction for the holy names. If one has enthusiasm in the beginning of devotional service and that enthusiasm does not become cold, then one will never become apathetic, lazy, or distracted in chanting the holy names. Therefore, enthusiasm is the only support for all types of devotional service. By enthusiastically performing devotional service, one can give up anishtata service in a very short time, and thus attains nishtha. Then he quotes Rupa Goswami and then adds, in the beginning there is no nishtha, or firm faith, in that service of chanting, because various types of anarthas keep crushing the heart. All anarthas are vanquished, however, by performing devotional service with enthusiasm. The more anarthas are vanquished, the more nishtha is awakened. So back to something I said in the before lunch session. Without a spiritual conception, that's not going to happen. So side by side, we'll go into this in the next session. Side by side, there has to be a spiritual conception. You know, sambandh gyan. What's what? Who am I? Who is Krishna? What's the holy name? What's going on? In addition to the activity. We'll go there later. And I've really exceeded my time. What's the schedule say? We're supposed to end at 4:30. You're going to do an activity in no time. Maybe what we'll do is I'll take some questions until 4:30. Then we'll have kirtan and then we'll start with the activity. Okay. We'll see. Any 12 minutes worth of questions? Way in the back. Can you come forward? Because the cable's not going to reach there. Thank you.
You mentioned that...
Button? Put the button? Okay.
Okay,
fine.
You mentioned that thanks for the holy name means like when we chant and then we can let the inattentive.
Yes.
So what happened when, for instance, I have to give my goal for chanting the 16 rounds and I force myself, so it's like forcing my relationship to Krishna. It's not a friend.
There's three stages, and the middle one is clearing. That's how it's simple English translation. So just being dull and not trying to overcome that's an offense. But if you're what you describe, that's part of the clearing stage. I know it's not good, but I must chant. So there's submission unto Krishna in that effort. I'm not there. Because if we waited until we were there to chant, we'd never get there. Because you need chanting to get there. So it's the clearing stage. What should be operative as far as possible is the submission. Krishna, you know my condition. But I'll say it anyway, you know, from my heart. You know my condition. I'm struggling. But I've accepted you as my master, and of the order of my spiritual master, and you're my shelter. Please accept this. Please pick me up. And you chant in that mood. And that's the clearing. All right? Up here, raise your hand again so you can see.
Since Krishna
consciousness
is a science.
I can hear you. Can you speak a little
louder? Since Krishna consciousness is a science, and the question is based off of what Prabhupada asked. Like, more generally, what do the scriptures mean?
What?
What do the scriptures
the maybe you could turn one of those point it this way, because you all can hear, and like, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So, what is the scriptures reveal about the general time frame, so to speak, that it will take for an Kaliyuga minded person to overcome the Namabrada stage?
It's not in the scripture. Less than a moment is all that it takes, but depends on, it's proportionate to our submission. So hook yourself up to a submission meter, and you got the answer. Proportionate to your submission. That's the answer, how long it will take. It also depends on your prior spiritual progress. How many lifetimes has an individual been working and diligently doing so? For example, that's another variable, that how long it will take. Spiritual progress, not just pious activity, but spiritual progress. You follow? And offenses is another one. But you know, offenses can be eradicated by proper submission to the Holy Name. But there can be a struggle because of offenses. So those are variables. But the operative principle is your submission to the process of bhakti and the persons who are dispensing. You know, nityam bhagavata sevaya. Anyone else? Okay.
So, if the Hare Krishna mantra is very potent and it's very easy to chant this mantra, then why is it that in the other yugas people did not chant?
They chanted. What did Dhruva Maharaj do? Wasn't it Kali Yuga? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He chanted, but it was combined with something else that was suitable for that age. etc. Valmiki. He chanted. It was, but the principal means, combined with the chanting of the holy name, that form was important. It's like, you know, deity worship is not the principal means of deliverance for this age. But we do deity worship. In the Dwarpa Yuga, they chanted the name, and so on. It's present, but in this age, the others are not. They're not going to give us that deliverance in the same manner. We don't have the capacity to do them properly. Our unqualified brahmanas, our mind and senses are not under control, and so on. So this very simple means is the primary means. Okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you talked about place, time, circumstance in your lecture just now, and anything that rises in between in the modes of material nature, like mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, it will fall down at some point.
Yes, that's correct.
So how we can understand the situation of Gautam Buddha? Like there was a lot of killing at that time, and Jesus Christ appearance, like he suffered on the cross. So that was also dependent on the place, time, and circumstance. Right? How we can understand this scenario?
I don't understand your question. As a representative of God, Christ gave God's message, but he gave his message in his own words, according to his audience. There is so much more to tell you, but you cannot bear to hear. Or, I'm telling you of earthly things, and you are filled with doubts what to speak of otherworldly things. So, he knew his audience. But he delivered the message of love God and upholding a life of freedom from sin. Be virtuous and try to love God. Look what they did to him for that message. So, but I don't know, you know, the message may be delivered according to time, place, and circumstance, according to the indication, ultimately, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Buddha came in at a particular circumstance and did a particular thing. Not only to accommodate or to address the circumstance, but with other purposes too. You know, give a means for people in the age of Kali that they can be atheists at heart, but still accept an incarnation of God. Pretty tricky, and it's abundant in the, you know, the. But I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question. I'm not sure I've gotten your question straight. It answers your question. Hey, great. Okay. Well, let's see if there's anyone else that it hasn't spoken would like to speak. Go ahead then. Oh, someone back there. We've got 2.5 minutes.
Thank you so much. What is this morning? I saw that you mentioned that statement from Rupa Goswami that these two syllables, Krishna, there's so much nectar is there that I wish I had 1,000 eyes, 1,000 ears. So it seems that he is enjoying. It's like his senses are engaged in so much enjoyment that he wants
the spiritual enjoyment, not the other kind.
So what's the difference? How the same senses are become spiritualized? You know, what's the switch?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But he had become purified, and at least in language consistent with what I've been speaking, his consciousness touched Krishna because he was purified through extended chanting, and his position is from the spiritual world as Rupa Manjari. He had an intimate relationship, and then with Radha and Krishna. So chanting Radha and addressing Radha and Krishna through sound vibration, that's the switch. Purified consciousness touching Krishna.
So in a spiritual sense, also the pleasures are sensual.
Spiritual senses, but emphasis on spiritual. The pleasure is spiritual, not sensual. Because when you use that word sensual, it has a connotation. So take away the connotation and you can say yes, but not the way that we normally think of it. So therefore spiritual. Okay, the 4:30 bell just rang. Did you hear it? So it's time now for kirtan. Yes? That's on the schedule? Yes? Do you like your drummer? He's good? I thought your brother was going to come. Couldn't come. Couldn't get away, or? Okay. Okay. I'm glad you could come. Very glad. Okay, let's have kirtan for a while.